It's an honor to be here. I love you all. And I have a couple of testimonies to make. I was speaking in a church in Louisiana, and my notes were flying. I think I picked them up 3-4 times. So while speaking, the pastor who was sitting, I think, on that side, felt God leading him to buy me an iPad. So when I'm done with preaching, because I picked them up, I think, about 4 times. Preaching, picking them up, and I didn't know the Lord was ministering. So when I'm done with my speaking, he comes up on the pulpit, checks his head, he's wrestling with the voice of God, and he says, "Man of God, Andrew, I really felt the Lord was telling me to buy you an iPad so that you don't have to be picking up your notes." So this is the blessing of the Lord I have in my hands. And I get to use it the first time in Northgate. Because I was fumbling with it, fiddling, see how to go about it, and how, because I've been used more to my computer, not Apple stuff. Father, we thank you once again. We're honored to be of service in your kingdom. Thank you for this lovely, wonderful family that I've so much grown to be attached to whenever I come around. Thank you, Lord, for the family away from home, the family of the Spirit, Lord. Lovely folks, lovely brethren, Lord. I bless you for what you're doing in their midst, and I give you glory, Lord, for this morning and for videos as well. Thank you for the tremendous opportunities we have to be of service in the kingdom. And thank you for your daily nourishment. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just to supplement on what my brother Dan has been saying, last year, how many were here last year when I talked about the Lion Prince? Now, this is the book. I look forward to putting this book in print. And by God's grace, I was able to do that. And there are copies around in the back. Like Dan has said, we don't attach the numerical value to this book. We just your seed. There's a lot God is doing in that part of the world, in this place as well. And $20 just for your seed over offering to what God is doing in Africa. Amen. And this other book is about nuggets. They are wonderful, wonderful thoughts and principles the Lord has been putting in my heart through the years. My heart is about worship. And with about 77 nuggets the Lord has led me to write. Over a cup of coffee in the morning, while you're retiring to your bed in the night, you can just pick up this book and soak in these nuggets. And just want to read a couple of them to you. The worship, nugget number 13, I call them worship keys. Worship key 13, worship is the currency for God's presence. Through it, we exchange our gloom for His glory. Underscoring the power of worship will leapfrog you from your feet to your pinnacle. Ideally, you can't help but leave your baggage at His feet and embrace your blessing on the way out. You cannot come in God's presence and live the same. When you release your heart, He gives you His heart. When you give Him your hands, He gives you His hands. Wonderful, wonderful truth you'll sit back and soak in. When your worship increases in stature, worship key number 14, your status changes. The attitude of worship is a springboard to a new altitude. A resolute and relentless engagement therein magnifies your creator to a point where your cremator is totally diminished. I love that. Worship key number 15, a worshiper learns to retrace their footsteps to the place of their first love. Worship teaches you to acknowledge the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. It always brings a place where you know that if it wasn't because of Him, I'm totally nothing. Worship key number 16, the mark of a worshiper is his response during life's hardest storms. When the storms hit hard, like in the life of Job, you don't curse. You don't curse God. You don't grind and grind. You learn to bless the Lord, oh my soul, like the song we're singing. And bless His holy name. Whining and whimpering is not the lingua franca of a worshiper. His stress code in dire circumstances is, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continuously be in my lips." There are wonderful, wonderful nuggets here, 77 of them that you will draw. It's only $15, like I said, a seed. And they're right in the back. And if you're writing out a check, just write it out in the names that are on this board. Amen. We shall go to the Word.
I want to speak about the process of enlargement. It's something I've been praying about and asking the Lord what message you want me to take to Northgate in the morning this July of 8th, and he led me to this word, the process of enlargement. Turn me to the book of Isaiah, the 54th chapter, while I use my iPad for the first time. I'm excited. No notes flying down here and picking them up and stuff.
Amen. Isaiah 54, from verse 1 up to verse 4. I definitely, the church family brings greetings, and my family as well. They're praying for me, and I've been in touch with them, and they asked me to pass on their greetings because they are behind me, and they know I'm in the right place. Amen. We shall read from verse 1 through to verse 4. I'm reading from the original version, King James. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thine cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. I'll begin by saying that throughout Scripture, God often shrouds His promises with prerogatives. He does so by provoking us. When you look at this portion of Scripture from verse 1 through verse 4, He begins by provoking the children of Israel. He tells them to sing, O barren. The word sing means to emit a stridulous sound, to make a creak, to shout. It's like a prophetic voice that comes out of you. So if we are to paraphrase that, we shall say that break forth into singing. Emit that stridulous sound, that squeaking sound out of you, you who are barren. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have no child. I'll paraphrase. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. God will always provoke us to new levels. And that's what God is wanting to do in our generation as He enlarges the kingdom in our lives and in different spheres. Remember, verse 3 up to verse 4 talks about the promises. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Those are the promises that are accruing to the church corporate and church individual. You as a person and us as a church. There are things God wants to do through us. There are blessings God wants to emit through us. The kingdom of God wants to be revealed through our lives. For thou shalt not be ashamed, the Bible says in verse 4, neither shalt thou be confounded. He speaks great promises, but remember, He provokes us. Verse 2, which I want to center on this morning, is the prerogative. He gives you the choice. In every area of life throughout Scripture, God gives us choices. He gives us the prerogative. If you do this, I'll do this. When you stand faithful, I'll bless you. When you walk in this path, I will lift you. He always gives us prerogatives throughout Scripture. And I want us to look at this prerogative in verse 2 that is going to help us enlarge yourselves. My sermon today is the process of enlargement. Say with me, the process of enlargement. I believe where you were is not where you're supposed to be. We are all a work in progress. God is enlarging us. We all have a beginning place in the kingdom. We begin as kids, we begin as little ones. But like the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Paul talks about reaching forth to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We all have a mark God has set before us, or He intends for us. He wants us to grow in knowledge. He wants us to grow in grace. He wants us to grow in the gifting. And that's what I want to talk about today. He wants us to grow in our daily lives. He wants to bless us. Like the Bible says in John, that brethren, I wish above all things that you may be in good health, even as your soul prospers. He wants us to be enlarged in different spheres, financially, spiritually, physically. He wants us to be well. Now that process of enlargement has steps. It has It has hinges, it has anchors, it has things we must walk through in our day-to-day life. And that's why he's challenging us, he's provoking us, he's telling us, hey, sing! It's time to emit that sound, it's time to enlarge yourself, it's time to cease being comfortable where you were. There are three things the Lord has put on my heart that will help us understand how we can be able to walk into enlargement. The Bible speaks in verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent. The word place means the spot or the condition. So when the Bible says enlarge, means enlarge your condition, the condition of your tent, the condition of your surrounding. Their purposes, their goals, their careers, their dreams and their lives God wants to flourish in your life. The things that we see currently, where you were is not where you're supposed to be. You are there today, but tomorrow God wants you on a new level. Because the Bible says the path of the righteous is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. We go from glory to glory. We go from strength to strength. We grow from level to level. And it's not time for us to be comfortable somewhere. It's time for us to say, Lord, I have seen your grace, but I want to see more of your grace. I have seen your love, but I want to experience more of your love. And that takes enlargement, folks. It takes enlargement. I believe the only person who gets cornered is the person who is dead. Those are the people who have ceased from their labor. But as long as you still have a nose, as long as you're still alive, you have a soul, then brother, let us take it on. Let us rise higher. Let us aim higher like the eagle. Let us stretch our wings. Let us broaden our horizons, because God is prepared to bless. He's prepared to anoint. He's prepared to take you to different levels, even as a ministry, even as an individual person, even as a family, in different spheres of life. Please, let us not put a lid on what God can do. What does the Bible challenge us? What is the prerogative in verse 2? It says, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. It says, stretch forth. The stretching forth of your curtains means, speaks about your soul faculties. Being drawn out of your familiar patterns. The mindsets, the attitudes, the dispositions, the limited negative thinking patterns. Those are some of the things that inhibit us. They stop us from seeing what God wants us to do. We should not be inhibited by our past life experiences. Our social and economic status and our childhood background hits us so much. It puts a lid on what God can do. I've grown up in a culture, in a society where people where at times you're not supposed to say, in the African culture at most, there are things you're not supposed to question. It's not a free environment at times. You don't talk back to an elder. It has some respect value in it, but there's a time where you feel you're justified to say something. So we've grown up in a culture at times, back in our country, I'll attest for my country, where there are things that through our childhood background, there are leads that have been placed on us. But as a church, and as people of the 21st century, as kingdom people, God is challenging us to break forth from mindsets like that. There are things that will keep on inhibiting you. You look at your background, you look at your race, you look at your education, you look at your social status, and you feel, Lord, I don't think I can make it in life. But let me tell you something the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 through verse 10, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez because they bore him in sorrow. His name was related to sorrow. When you saw Jabez, it was sorrow. But that's not the way Jabez thought. The Bible says in verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, if thou wouldst bless me, if you indeed enlarge me. His thinking was beyond his name. Think beyond your name. Think beyond your surrounding. Think beyond your disposition. Break through the lid of your life and say, no, the devil is saying this, but God is saying something else. My body might be speaking a different language, but what does God say? I will believe the report of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Whose report shall I believe? And his hand is not short that it cannot save, nor his ear deaf that it cannot hear. God is prepared to transform you. The Bible tells me in Mark chapter 10 about a young man called Zacchaeus. Bunny Myers, beg your pardon. He sat a whole time on the roadside begging. But once upon a time when Jesus was walking through Jericho, he said, this is my day. He said, this is my time. And while he beckoned to the Lord that, oh Lord, have mercy, many a person tried to stop him. They tried to quench the voice that was within him. And many things in our lives try to quench our desire for pursuit. They try to put us down. There are many voices within us. Maybe the voices of our past. Maybe the voices of the devil that come in different fashions. But like Bartimaeus, I come to challenge you. Begin raising what is within you. Begin singing. Begin breaking forth. Tear up the walls that are around you. Stretch forth those curtains. Don't limit God in what he can do. What God has done for others, he can do for you. God uses people of different characters. God does not look at who you are. He looks at what he is in you. What challenges me is about the four lepers in the Bible, in 2 Kings. Four lepers. God uses four lepers to transform a whole city. Because they didn't look at themselves, they look at the word of God. Elisha spoke the word and said, at this time tomorrow, at this time tomorrow, an able valet shall serve for this match. And they were willing to pursue the word of God to make that come to pass. There is a word in your life. There are things God is speaking. He's speaking about your destiny. He's speaking about your family. There are scriptures God has put on your heart. There is a voice that within you that is battling with the voice of sense and reason. And it's up to us to realize that we are spiritual people. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And the faith that within us is the one that should drive us. And I want to challenge you, even as I've been challenging myself, be drawn out. Begin being drawn out of your familiar patterns. Those mindsets, those attitudes, I cannot make it. Stop singing the song of depression. Stop speaking the language of failure. Stop saying, I cannot do it. Stop saying, maybe, or could be, or how will it be? For with God, all things are possible. There is a family back at church, back in our church, that has gone through a lot with regard to the political war. It lost their family. It's just a couple of them that are alive. They ran from the war over Joseph Kony. And besides that, one of them, they're suffering with the HIV. And through the years, as years have come and gone, they have been very, very susceptible to what the devil has been doing in their lives. They have this stigma that has been hanging heavy on their hearts. And through the years, the Lord has been leading me to impact into their lives hope and faith and courage that you have a purpose in life. There is a reason why you're still alive. There is a reason why God made you in his image. There is a reason why you're saved. There is a reason why you're in this place. And I thank God as we speak per se. The lady has got a job now. She's back on her feet. And one of the girl daughters who escaped being killed is preparing to get married. There is a reason for their living. There is a reason why they are alive. Let us break forth from those patterns in our lives, because the devil's mission day to day is to steal, to kill, and destroy. He always comes to steal the purpose of God for your life. He wants to kill that dream. He wants to kill your family. He wants to quench the fire that is within you. Those mindsets have to be broken through. Those ideals, the things we think we stood for in the past that no longer work. That's why the Bible challenges us. Enlarge the place of your tent. Make room for what God wants to do. Prepare the vessels. Like Elisha spoke to the lady, prepare enough vessels for the oil is still flowing. God is still working in our generation. And like Jabez, I believe all of us should say, enlarge me, Lord. Bless me. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Father. Bless me for your kingdom that I may be a blessing. We should all say, Lord, you are able to bless because you're the blesser. Everything proceeds from you. I'm not going to look at the economy of the world. I'm going to look to you as my supply. I'm going to look to you as my provider. I'm going to look to you as my source. I'm not going to look at what is around me, the wilderness and the Red Sea. You are my source. You are my strength. You are my joy. You are my crown. I will focus my eyes on you. The Bible still says in the second verse that spare not. Lengthen thine cords. Stretching forth of curtains speaks about your soul for curtains. Enlarging your mindset, your disposition, your attitudes. Being not inhibited by your past life experiences. Lengthening of cords speaks about relationships. You know, in an ideal tent, when you go for camping, a tent has three basic things. It has the curtains, it has the cords, and it has the stakes. So once these curtains are not stretched, you want to have ideal room in the tent. You know what I'm talking about? So you have to stretch the curtain. And what helps stretch the curtains are the ropes. These ropes here, these relationships, are the ones that help stretch your curtain. It's about building and forging strong and healthy relationships. A life of continuous isolation brings desolation. I repeat that. A life of continuous isolation brings desolation. A lone wolf mentality. Those are the things that happen to us when at times we get depressed and say, you know, leave me alone, I just want to be alone by myself. But that should not be over and over and over. God has built us in such a way that we need one another. You need me, I need you, we need each other like the body. Paul speaks about it in 1 Corinthians. We are the body of Christ. One is the head, one is the limb, one is the hand, one is the finger, one is the ear. We need each other to function. And in order for our tent to be secure, we need to build strong and healthy relationships. Those are the cords that hold us firm. We need to reach out to people, spiritual, social, and business, corporate friends, whom we know are going to push us forward. The people we allow in our lives will affect and influence our enlargement. I repeat that. The people we allow into our lives will affect and influence our enlargement. The Bible speaks to me about Ruth. When you open the book of Ruth and read it, Ruth lost her husband with a sister. And when all is gone, her mother Naomi and the husband, his father-in-law, her father-in-law inclusive, they decide to return. The mother-in-law decides to return to Jerusalem. And she says, "You're not going to leave me here." The whole story goes on, "Your people shall be my people, and your God my God." She looked out for a relationship that was strong. And because of that, Christ was born in the lineage of Ruth. What are your relationships? Who are the people you relate to on a continuous basis? Are they building you up or they are pulling you down? Because the people you love in your life will influence your surrounding, will influence your enlargement. God is about blessing you. God is about increasing you. God is about enlarging you. We have a saying back in our country, in our local language, that the person you walk with, tell me the person you walk with and I'll tell you your character. If I say it in my language, mbulira gotambula na inange na kulire mpisa zo. Tell me the one you walk with and I'll tell you your character. So the people we surround ourselves with will either pull us up, push us up, or they'll pull us down. So we need to forge and establish and build healthy relationships that are going to push us forward. Like Ruth, she was able to tag onto Naomi. And when she tagged onto Naomi, she was able to get Boaz. And the story goes on and on and on. The Bible speaks to me about Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. When Solomon had built a legacy, established everything in place, built the temple, when time comes on to pass on to go to the way of the east, he leaves Rehoboam. Rehoboam gets on the throne. After a couple of days and months, the Bible says he sought counsel from one of the counselors of Solomon. And he told him that reach out to the elderly man. Rehoboam decided to reach out to the younger man who advised him about Jeroboam. And then at the end of the day, we find the kingdom being split in twain because of the people he surrounded himself with. Help me ask your neighbor, who are your friends? Help me, just for a second, ask, who are your friends? We need to examine consistently, continuously, our spiritual, social, and corporate friends. And I believe in our lifetime, God will always bring right people. I want to put a distinction here. They are good people, and they are right people in our lives. I repeat that. They are good people in our lives, but they are right people. We should not hate people. We should love them, embrace them, allow them. But they are right people that God wants to tag into our lives. And for the right people who come, we should allow them be a part of our lives. Because as they come, there is an intertwining of our spirits to their spirit. There is a mutual rubbing within each other. There is a growth pattern that grows as we meet into each other. I'm really privileged to have met I call him Papa now, Thalo. Whenever I sit with him, he speaks into my life. Oftentimes when we go out once in a while, he wants me to talk, but you know what, I always love to engage the silent mode so that I can listen to the wisdom that flows from him. Being tagged into the right person, being tagged into the right people. There is a man of God that made a statement some time back and said, if you are the smartest one in the room, then you're in the wrong place. I repeat that. If you're the smartest one in the room, then you're in the wrong place. Because you have nobody to speak into your life. We need to build an atmosphere where we're always provoked, like God provoked the children of Israel. Lord, provoke me to excellence. Lord, provoke me to holiness. Lord, provoke me to higher heights. Lord, provoke me. And like iron sharpens iron, we should allow our lives to be provoked on a continuous basis. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, then one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him. Again, if two lie together, then they shall have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. So when we are together, that's why I thank God for Northgate. When we are together, we work as a team. We move as a team. Our weaknesses are made up for. I repeat, our weaknesses are made up for. Your strength, your weakness is made up for another person's strength. When we come together and function and allow to relate, there is something that happens in our lives. When we pray together, we worship together. When we praise together, when we congregate together, when we relate, there is a mutual building. There is a building up within us. We live refreshed, restored, and empowered. God's voice becomes tangible and realistic. Our lives are transformed. We walk away experiencing a new week of destiny. But we need to allow to lengthen those cords. Let them not just lie there. Let's lengthen them. Let's allow those relationships work in our lives. Let's allow those relationships stretch us. If God leads somebody to speak in my life, say, receive it in love. At times it's a word of loving rebuke. Accept it in love. At times it's a word that comes to soothe you, to bless you. Receive it. There are different ways God will use other folk to speak and work in our lives. At times it's through their body language. At times through their character. At times it's through their voices. At times it's through the pattern of their lives. But as we continue relating, we shall learn more. Because our lives are about learning. There are three things I picked up in my life that I've made a part of me. My life is about learning, unlearning, and relearning. I repeat that. Learning, unlearning, and relearning. Because there are things I thought I know, and I unlearn them. And I relearn. Because that's all about life. There are things you drop along the way and say, well, you know what, I really felt that worked, but it doesn't work. I'm not talking about scripture. Scripture is foundational. You can't question it. You can't add or subtract. But there are things in your day-to-day, you feel that I need to drop this. I need to drop this pattern. I need to drop this way of thinking. I need to drop this paradigm. To be able to embrace a greater me in God. The Bible speaks in the second verse still. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. And remember, the Bible speaks in the present continuous language. Stretch. You do it today, do it tomorrow. You did it last week, do it again next week. It's a continual thing until the kingdom comes. Let them stretch forth their curtains. Let them lengthen their cords. Actually, the Bible says before lengthen, spare not. Don't limit it. Just keep stretching. Spare not that lengthening. Just give it your best shot. Let that person speak in your life. Let those relationships work within you. To a point where you realize, the Lord, I thank you. If it wasn't because of your grace, if it wasn't because of so-and-so, you walked through so-and-so. Lord, thank you for bringing so-and-so in my life. There are people we literally thank God for in our lives. We thank God for our families. We thank God for our spouses. We thank God for our children. We thank God for our leaders. We thank God for the spiritual people, leaders God has put before us. We thank God for different avenues of people who have walked through like angels. But if we hadn't allowed them to speak, we wouldn't be where we are by the grace of God. The Bible says still in that same verse 2, and strengthen thine stakes. Strengthen your stakes. Those are the foundations and our beliefs.
stakes stoke up our beliefs and our foundation.
Remember, like I said, the three basic things about the tent. There is the curtain, there is the ropes, and there is the stake. So you may have the curtain stretched, you may have the relationships,
but you need a foundation
where that tent is going to be established.
You need a strong stake, because if the stake is not in place and the storm comes, whoop, it's gone. The tent is gone, I mean it's gone. If a hurricane comes, it's gone. So you need those foundations, your beliefs. We ought to establish solid and stable foundations or anchors in our lives. Those things that will hold us securely and provide stability. Those are the anchors of our lives. And there are two things I want to be speaking about. A conviction and a mandate. A conviction and a mandate that will help us realize our foundation and our beliefs. What is a conviction? A conviction is something you will die to protect. It's something you die to protect and say, this is mine. Nobody is going to take it from me. Those are the doctrinal beliefs about the Godhead, the great salvation He has given to us, the infallibility of His word, the eternal life and judgment, the reality of the kingdom of God. Those are the things that are indispensable. We cannot trade for anything else. The salvation He has shown us, the Godhead, the eternity, the being of God, the infallibility of His word. You cannot question it. You cannot add or subtract to it. This is our conviction. This is why we live. This is what makes us be. This is what moves our heart and pounds it forward. These are our convictions. We cannot trade them for anything else. No silver, no gold can replace this. Nobody, no culture, no political system can change this. This is our stake. It's what we believe in. God is my salvation. He's the rock and my fortress is my banner. He's the reason why I am. He's the one that holds me secure. I cannot simply trade that. That is my conviction. I'm ready to go to the gallows for that. Once we uphold and have strong foundations and our stakes go deep, then our tent is going to be secure. Then our relationships are going to be firm. If our relationships don't tie into our foundations, let's let them go. I repeat that. If our relationships don't tie into God and what we believe in, then I don't think they will work. Because every relationship at one point in time should acknowledge that God is the author and the finisher of your faith. Every relationship should drive you to the authenticity and the foundation of Christ. Every person that walks in that you call right or seems right should point you to Christ. Because it's the reason for your being, it's the reason you're there, it's the reason you're blessed to where you are, it's the reason for your family, it's the reason for your job, it's the reason for your tomorrow. So once we have that in place, those foundations, those beliefs, unquestionable, then our lives are surely going to be on the path of salvation. What is a mandate? That is the second thing. The mandate is something you'll die to advance. It's something you die to advance. Those are some of the stakes we should have in place. These are the doctrinal beliefs of who you are, His purpose and promises for your life. There are purposes and destinies God has invested in everybody here. That is your mandate. What is your mandate? Like the VBS, there are things God is injecting and revealing in people's lives on a continual basis. They become your mandate. They become your passion. They become your reason to be. I was reading a book, Mama was reading, and she gave to Carol about a lady in Africa, but she's originally from Tennessee. I believe you've spoken about it. And she didn't go far. I believe she only pursued high school. And then when she goes for a mission trip to Africa, and she doesn't seem to want to come back. She's built an orphanage. She's doing tremendous work for the kingdom in one of the towns called Jinja. That is her mandate, looking after kids, you know. She has that has impacted her life. It's her reason for being, you know. She's decided to trade the beauty of the life that is here for, you know, for the good of the cross. That is her mandate. Everybody has a reason for being. It's something she's dying to advance. Now my question to you is, what are you dying to advance? It may not have been fully revealed to you, but along the way, as you keep growing God, as you keep nurturing yourself, as you keep building yourself in God, God will reveal His destiny in your life. And some of those things are the ones that hold us firm, even when the storms hit hard, even when your boat is rocked back and forth, even when things seem oblique and obscure, you will say, Lord, there is a reason why I'm alive. There is a reason why I'm in this generation. There is a reason why I'm in this church. There is a reason why I'm serving in VBS. There is a reason why you have made me Jesus. And as you make that your focus, God will begin fashioning and forming the reality of his person in your life. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, that is your conviction, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, that our foundations may be strong. That was Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. That they may be able to comprehend the length, the depth, the wide, the width, and the height of his knowledge. To know the love of Christ that surpasses everything. That is his prayer for us today. For every person here and for us as a church corporate, as the ecclesia of God. That our conviction will be strong. That we shall be able to have strong foundation. Wherever we shall be, even when we're alone, wherever we are, we shall still say, Lord, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. You know the way that I take. When I come forth, I shall come forth as God. Even after everything is said and done. Even when you're battling tough things in your life, you're battling a sickness, you're battling a mindset, you're battling something, you say, Lord, you have a reason for everything. I've come to inspire somebody and challenge you at the same time. That enlargement is your way. God wants us to be enlarged. God wants us to be enlarged. And he begins by provoking us. And I've come to provoke you to be provoked. It's time for you to emit that sound. To look at around yourself and say, Lord, I thank you. Because where I am is good ground for beginning. Where I am is springboard to a new level. Where I am is a reason for me to celebrate that you're about to do great things. And for some of our journeys we're going to take, we're going to be like Abraham. He says, walk. He doesn't give us the whole journey's details. But he says, walk. As you're obedient for the first step, he walks in and says, all right, now build an altar there. Stay there for the night. As you take another step, he says, now build an altar there. God is always leading us a step at a time. But he knows the way that we take. He knows the way. Because he always wants to get the glory. And as we allow him lead us as a family, as a father, as a mother, and as a leader in different fields, and as a professional, he will help you enlarge. Because the purpose of your enlargement is that his kingdom will be revealed and released in your life. In closing, I want to say these words. Nobody, nobody is little in the kingdom. There is no scrapyard in the kingdom of God. Every person is purposeful and beneficial. And don't look down on yourself, looking at your past experience and looking at what has inhibited you. Look at your author. In the midst of your peace, look up and say, my Redeemer liveth. Like Job, he's able to change what is around you. There is a story told about a little donkey that the master got tired of. You may be familiar with this story. And he had this spit and he threw him in. And this donkey and said, this is not my place. And every other day, I believe every other 2 days, the master used to come and pour garbage on the donkey. And she would shake it off and stand on the garbage. Continuously, another day, she shakes the garbage off, stamps on it and said, this is not where I'm supposed to be. And as he kept on doing that, the garbage level kept on rising. And the donkey kept on rising until such a time, at the last stroke, he said, this is not my place, stepped on the garbage and walked out of the pit. I want you to tell the devil there are different pits that come in our lives. The times there are bodily ailments, there are fatigue, there are different mentalities, there are stress causes, there are things the devil keeps spawning on our lives. But like this donkey, faithful to its master. Everybody do like this, shake it off and stand on it. Because at a point in time, you're going to walk out of that place in Jesus. It's time to be enlarged. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit God.
God has great things in your lives. He has great things for us as a church, and He has great things for every individual here. As long as you still have breath in your nostrils, there is a purpose why you are alive. There is a purpose why you're here. Could you just stand up on your feet and let's pray together. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise.